You have a line to Congresswoman Gwen Moore on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Moore was on a bus tour, part of a congressional hearing in Milwaukee earlier this week, focused on the current challenges around affordable housing and the historical racial discrimination. So what is your story about living in Milwaukee? What have you and your family encountered with housing? 800-642-1234. Democratic U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Wisconsin's 4th District includes parts of the Milwaukee metro area. She serves on the 14-member House Select Committee on Economic Disparity and Fairness and Growth, of which members were on this bus tour. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, good to be with you, Kate.
Good morning. Well, before we get into housing, I want to ask about how you are doing, your recent diagnosis with COVID, second time testing positive. How are you doing?
Well, I'm better today than I was yesterday, so I'm on the right trajectory. I don't have my booming voice for
you.
I hear that.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're on the mend. Let's look at housing now. You returned to your home district, Milwaukee, this week, and Milwaukee's still one of the most extremely segregated cities in America, despite more than 50 years of the Fair Housing Act. How do you think Milwaukee has changed since you went to Congress?
Well, thank you so much for really just reviewing that history. I remember Vail R. Phillips, when she was the first female and black alderwoman in the city of Milwaukee, she introduced a fair housing bill, and it was defeated, 18-1 every time. And people might recall Father Crappie and Vail Phillips marching for fair housing. And, part of the problem is that we really need to do things that are proactive to reverse the kinds of causes of this. We had witnesses on our bus and on our panel that really described why Milwaukee has earned, unfortunately, the moniker of Selma of the North. There was deliberate discrimination that created the racial segregation, racial covenants. We had Dr. Bonds testify before our committee that racial covenants were used in Milwaukee to prevent black people from owning homes in certain parts of the city, outside of the city. Also, not only racial covenants, but the FHA, the VA, they would provide loans based on this redlining. And so this was deliberate discrimination. They also talked about the building of the freeway right through the city.
Dividing neighborhoods. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And so not only has this created a housing crisis, but it also created a local transportation problem. I mean, as we preferred highways and freeways and car traffic over public transportation, it sort of substituted for our policy of putting together good public transportation so that people from the inner city of Milwaukee could actually get to the WOW counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, counties, where Washington counties, where jobs were available. And so it's a transportation problem, it's a housing problem, and it's an economic problem. We also drove past sites like A.O. Smith, where there was once 10,000 people from the inner city. Many of them could walk to work. We visited the Briggs and Stratton abandoned property. We drove past Master Lock, which is still operating in our community. But we were able to see the connection between having really good jobs and being able to have a good middle-class life. As a matter of fact, one of our presenters on the bus, Reggie Jackson, pointed out that at one time, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, had the most thriving black middle class in the entire United States of America. And, of course, now they say that this might be the first, second worst place in the United States for black children to grow up. So how did all that happen? Housing, loss of businesses, when the so-called urban renewal with the freeway, and really the replacement of industrial jobs with mm-hmm. very low wage jobs. I mean, the minimum wage is still $7.25 here in Wisconsin in the United States. And of course, there's nowhere you can live for $7.25 an hour.
And so all of these things coming to a head, and I just want to jump in here and reintroduce you. Democratic U.S. Representative Gwen Moore sits on a House Select Committee working on the wealth gap in America, looking at the housing piece earlier this week in Milwaukee with field hearings. You can join in on Housing 800-642-1234. I'm really curious what you're going to do with this information that you gathered from the bus tour, that you gathered from the hearings in Milwaukee. Where do you take it?
Listen, there's going to be a report. And, you know, I'm very hopeful, very hopeful. There were all kinds of great suggestions that have come up, like having by expanding our housing tax credit programs, like the low-income housing tax credit, the Community Development Block Grant Fund. There is a Milwaukee's United Anti-Displacement Fund, and we do need a housing trust fund, a national housing trust fund, to sort of fill in these gaps between what people can afford to purchase and maintain and what landlords can afford and the cost of housing. And we do need and so on the other side of the break, if we get an opportunity, Kate, I can go into some more of this because we saw
well, I'm
some
curious,
really important things.
I'm curious, too, when you see these skyrocketing home prices, inflation, an affordable housing shortage, so much shortage in quality housing stock, how do you give a leg up to family first-time home buyers or just family home buyers when large investors will swoop in sight unseen and give an all-cash offer?
That I see fires on my doorstep every single day. We have to make sure that we don't create incentives. Excuse me for this.
There's a flyer on your door right now. Go ahead.
All right, there's a flyer on my door right now. But you know, I think it's really, really important that we don't create incentives for investors to do that. And I'm concerned about some of the public policy that's coming down the pike that might inadvertently do it. A lot of public policy has created disadvantages for people.
Well, what policy in particular? I mean, I'm just looking at mortgage applicants. White mortgage applicants are way more likely than non-white applicants to get mortgage loans approved in both majority white neighborhoods and majority non-white neighborhoods. So what role do banks and lenders have in helping to fix this issue?
Well, we do have the Community Reinvestment Act. That was raised as something that was extremely important to make sure that there was equity. And when we mean equity, we don't mean equality. If a person doesn't have the income, no matter what color they are, they shouldn't get a mortgage. But you can work with people, help them clean their credit up, and there are worthy borrowers in every community that deserve something more than predatory loans. The black community really suffered in this last recession in 2007-2008 from predatory lenders. And so the Community Reinvestment Act was raised as a tool to help ameliorate this problem.
Talking with U.S. Representative Gwen Moore, part of a congressional select committee in Milwaukee this week, looking at inequalities in housing and hearing about possible remedies to the historical disparities, the legacy of redlining. What do you want this committee to take back to Washington? Have you had trouble finding affordable housing in Milwaukee? How much is your budget? How much does your budget go to rent or a mortgage? How is it connected to race? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Congresswoman Gwen Moore here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about economic barriers in the Milwaukee region, the work of a House Select Committee trying to address inequities in housing, the increasing gentrification that's breaking apart neighborhoods, tackling the tremendous wealth gap in America through the lens of Milwaukee's North Side. What do you want to tell Congress about housing, about good jobs, about the ability to provide for your family? 800-642-1234. Democratic Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee with us for about 9 more minutes. You know, the average Black Milwaukeean is $25,000 less, earning less than the income of a white resident. What role should the federal government have in addressing this disparity?
Well, I do think that wages are the thing that really is not only it's a private sector issue, but the federal government can make interventions as well. I've had a bill for a long time to do what we did during the emergency dollars we put out through the American Rescue Plan, and to enhance the earned income tax credit to try to fill in the gap for that gap between what a person earns and really what is sustainable, so that, you know, so that people always talk about the dignity of work. There's nothing dignified about slavery, you know, working and then really not being able to make ends meet. We spent time on this tour in Kenosha, too, of course. Mm-hmm. Talked about worker training and the importance of doing that. But if you train someone, they need to make more than $16 an hour, or at least that. Especially, and they need to have health care benefits and paid sick leave. These are the kinds of things we were trying to get through with our budgetary package. People called it the Build Back Better package, but to really invest in people, trying to lower the cost of prescription drugs. All of these things may not seem related, but to provide people with work supports really augments their income. If you're spending 30% or more of your income on housing, you are housing burdened. So we definitely need to raise the minimum wage. That's one of the things that the federal government can do. The science is on our side with regard to industry being able to provide an increase and really redistribute some of the monies that they provide as profits and their shareholding. When we passed this last tax bill, it was a really hiatus for shareholders, and we need to share those profits and those benefits with workers. That's really clear. We're hard pressed to really indict landlords for not fixing up homes when they can't get enough rent to do so, and we're hard pressed to indict people for, you know, being behind in their rent and facing eviction when they're rent burdened. So we do need to square things up with increased wages, with the earned income tax credit, and with work supports like, you know, really the Affordable Care Act and lowering insulin drug costs, providing child care, for God's sake, so that people can get to work.
A lot of interconnected issues. I just want to pause right here and bring in Mark with a question. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. In Mequon.
Everybody today on this beautiful day.
Hi, Mark.
Can
yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, you got all these areas, throughout Milwaukee, and it's nationwide. And I'm just wondering what, through the government and people that never paid in for taxes or anything like that, Social Security, and where the problem relies in, we're always in the red in the budget with government and state throughout the nation's debt. And let's bring in Black Lives Matter groups for a minute. They're supposed to come into these neighborhoods and help people out, I thought. I mean, that's what I thought. I thought, hey, we're going to finally get somebody to help these people that need it. And, as far as, and nobody's perfect. And I'm not kicking anybody when they're down. But it seems like we keep going in a circle here, in a vicious circle of life in some of these areas to where nobody, we talk about this year after year after year for decades in elections and this and that. We're going to do this and that. Nobody. And there's a lot of good people out there yet that are helping these people. But, getting back to where the circle of money comes in for taxes and, disabilities and this and that. And, yeah, people do need help. But
Mark, thank you. Yeah, I just want Congresswoman Moore to jump in here. Right. Mark, just not seeing that progress.
Right. Mark makes some very good points. We've been dealing with this for decades and decades. And we've been really ignoring the sort of root causes. There are plenty of people who don't pay taxes for a lot of reasons, and all of us were in that category once upon a time. We were children, and we benefited from public education, as an example. There are people who are disabled. There are people who are elderly that receive Social Security. And so, let's not bash people who don't pay taxes. They pay taxes in other ways, state taxes and other kinds of taxes. But that being said, everybody needs to pay their fair share. I hate to just beat up on Jeff Bezos, because God knows I'm grateful every time my Amazon package arrives on time. But, I mean, he pays absolutely no taxes at all. so we need to make sure that the distribution of taxes, and I'm on the tax committee, are fair. And I can tell you that there's a really big difference in and the burden on middle-class families, people like Mark, is huge, which is one of the reasons that on our committee we made sure that nobody who made under $400,000 a year had any sort of tax increases. Because, when you take it from the middle class, we don't want to redistribute wealth from struggling middle class people to poor people. We just want other people. We want to level the playing field. And so, Mark, I take your point. It's true. In terms of housing, we saw a very good project with the old Briggs and Stratton industrial thing, and using some of these same instruments like Opportunity Zones put together by Republican Tim Scott. They are using that with other sorts of city monies and state monies and putting together a project of maybe a couple hundred housing units where they'll have recreation, where they will make sure that people get rents that of no more than 30% of their income to try to help people get on their feet and at least have a stable housing situation so that they can build on that. For having a job and going back to school and raising their kids.
Well, let me
take Mark's point.
Let me ask you this then: what does success look like for your House Select Committee?
Our House Select Committee, from my point of view, we're dealing with not only the housing. We've had other sort of places of inequity. What it'll look like, it'll be sort of a reconciliation. It will be acknowledging some of the inequities that are structural, some of them that have been enabled by federal policy, and that we can correct that. I hope that it will lean toward a sort of reconciliation, because there are plenty of people. The biggest customer in this country to any business is the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And so why can't the federal government distribute its benefit in a way that improves the lives of all Americans. And so when we look at anything, business contracts, housing, construction contracts, anything, we just did housing here because Milwaukee is the epicenter of housing inequity. But if you look at it systemically, a situation where the federal government has put its thumb on the scale, even on labor. You know, we deliberately didn't subject agricultural jobs or domestic kind of jobs or restaurant jobs to the national labor, to the minimum wage. And so who's in those jobs?
And we're going to have to leave it there. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Democratic U.S. Representative Gwen Moore of Milwaukee, first elected to Congress in 2004, member of the House Select Committee on Economic Disparity and Fairness and Growth that had field hearings in Kenosha and Milwaukee this week. Ahead this hour, we look at the growing movement of climate change activists on college campuses pushing to have endowments free of fossil fuel investments. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.